The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Good afternoon, Arizona. This is Congressman John Campbell filling in for Seth Leibson. For those of you who missed the first hour, and I can't even imagine why you would miss any hour of this show, but just in case you missed the first hour, Seth will be back with you tomorrow. I am filling in for him. I was a member of Congress for five terms from California, and before that I was in the California State Legislature, both in the lower house called the Assembly and the upper house called the Senate. And I was born and raised in Los Angeles, have an undergraduate degree from UCLA and a master's from USC. Everybody, all you ASU and Arizona people can boo now. That's accepted. I get it. I understand that. I've been married for 40 years to the captivating Mrs. Campbell. We have two sons, both of whom are married, and two granddaughters, all of whom still live in California. The captivating Mrs. Campbell and I are what I call political refugees from California. We now live here in Arizona in the Valley of the Sun, and we are very happy to be here. I have been coming here my whole life. I will say something I didn't mention. My father was actually born in Tucson, and if you've ever been to the house down, the Fish House, which is a state historic monument house down in downtown Tucson, my father was born in that house. His mother was Florence Fish. My grandmother was Florence Fish Campbell. So from a very old line Tucson family. So I do have roots here, although I did spend all my life in California up until now, but was in Congress for 10 years. But in the state legislature in California, which is a full-time legislature, let's not ever do that in Arizona, because all it means is it gives everybody more time to make more laws, more bills. Do you know California passed over 1,100 new bills last year? 1,100. We're going to talk about how this governor, Governor Ducey, doesn't want to do that in the future. 602-508-0960 is our number here in the studio if you wish to call and talk to me, Congressman John Campbell, 602-508-0960. But we're going to play some clips now of Governor Ducey's State of the State speech yesterday, which I listened to and watched actually online. And I have heard, I heard State of the Union speeches. And I've heard five or four or something State of the State speeches in California. And I've heard several online before of various other states. So I've been around this block before. And let me start out by saying I'm a supporter of Governor Ducey. I contributed to his campaign for his reelection. I have met him once, but I do like him, and I am a supporter of the governor. And so I'll give you that right to begin with. So I listened to the speech, and he is, let's just be honest here. He's not the most scintillating speaker, okay? Now, I consider that a fact, but it's not a criticism, because you know what he is? He's a tireless worker. He's a guy who just goes in and gets stuff done in a Scott Walker kind of a way. I mean, you've always had over the past, they've run for president. They never get elected president, it seems, but they call them the boring Midwestern governor. The Midwestern governor that isn't the kind of rah-rah person that makes you want to charge up a hill. But they just go in and they're competent and they know what they're doing and they're dedicated and they're hardworking and they have a vision and they follow it and they get people who follow it with them and they just get stuff done. And at the end of 4 years or 8 years or 2 years or whatever, you sit back there and you say, wow, this state is better. This state is better. Now, I mean, you can always have your President Obama, right? Guy was as gifted a speaker as I've ever met, ever known. Or your Bill Clinton, who I never met, but I knew people who just despised the guy. And when they met him, they'd say, oh, you can't not like him. It's not possible. He has such charisma. He's so warm. You can't not like the guy. You want people like that? Or you want people like Governor Ducey that may not light the room on fire, but he makes this a better place to live. So let's go through some of that State of the State speech yesterday. And let's first, Producer Bill, let's play cut number one.
I'm not here just to work with Republicans on Republican ideas. And bipartisanship doesn't simply mean working with Democrats on Democratic ideas. I'm here as governor of all the people to work with all of you on good ideas.
Okay. Now, I actually noted this and counted. How many times was he going to say bipartisan common ground or working together? The answer is 10. You just heard one. There were 9 other times during the speech in which he says that. Okay, you got to say that. And, of course, the legislature now is split, or the House, the state House, is just split 31-29. So there's basically a one-vote majority that Republicans have. So you got to say that. You ought to say that. I often, this is for the caller we had last time, last hour, I often said to people when we were trying to make a deal on something, and they'd say, well, I don't want to give the Democrats anything. And I'd say, well, you know, look, they were elected too. And if they're going to give their vote, they get something for their vote. You know, if you don't want their vote and they don't have to vote, then fine. I get it. You can just, I don't think that's smart. When you shut out the minority, you take a minority that is, you want to, as a majority, you want a compliant, complacent minority. You don't want a ticked off minority that's going to scream and yell and make things difficult for you, because the minority can do that. And constitutionally, that's their job to do that. It's their job to criticize the majority when they don't like the majority and to propose an alternative when they think it's there. So first of all, I don't disagree with it. It's just that it's become kind of in the way the world is today, as split and as divided as we are, it actually kind of falls false. It just does when we talk about bipartisanship. And the TV thing I was watching would scan the crowd every once in a while. And there were so many times when the Democrats just sat down with their hands in their laps. They didn't clap for some pretty obvious things, I thought. They didn't clap for, but they didn't. So anyway, all right, let's go on. Let's play. The governor next said his number one priority, cut number two.
At the top of that list, securing our water future. Now stay with me. This is not an issue that leads the news. It doesn't make for a snappy headline or a provocative soundbite, and it can't be explained in 280 characters. But as I traveled the state this past year, it's one of the issues I was asked about most.
Okay,
by real people.
All right, yeah, that's enough of that. Okay, securing a water future. Now, you know, water is one of those things. If any of you listening have ever served on a city council or something like that, I never did. But if you have, it's one of those issues that people don't care about. But if they do, it means you messed up. Okay, if you went out and polled Arizonans, Americans, people in Maricopa County, people in Gilbert, I don't care. Pick any jurisdiction you want and ask for the top 5, top 10 items, water's probably not going to be there. Unless they're farmers. If they're farmers, water's going to be there. Whether they get water from the governor because it's irrigated, or they get it from God because it's dry land farming, which doesn't happen in Arizona, obviously, but happens in a lot of the rest of the country, then water is an issue. But if they're not farmers, it's not going to be in the top 5. It's not going to be in the top 10. It's not going to be in the top 15. Unless they go to turn on their tap and nothing comes out. Then guess what? Goes to number one. Absolutely goes to number one. And the governor is doing the right thing here, making that a number one issue, because you don't want to turn on your tap and have nothing come out. You don't want to have the water shortages they've had actually in California by doing some very poor management, by always putting the environmental whack job left ahead of everybody else in the state. You don't want to do that. And this whole issue with Lake Mead and the Colorado River water, which involves 7 states and 2 countries and Indian tribes, and trying to put this whole thing together. If the legislature doesn't pass something, the governor sign it by January 31st of this year, then the federal government has said they're going to take over the Colorado River water and decide what to do with it. And Arizona may get same amount, may get less, may get more. It probably won't get more. But so the governor is proactively going in and understanding that you don't want to turn on that tap. You don't want water to ever be an issue in people's minds. And so what he's doing is right, and it's important. And I hope that all those state House members and state senators realize that this is important for them too, that this needs to be resolved. Now, it's not easy because of all the jurisdictions involved and all the different places water comes from. And where the Colorado River backfills or is the first water or the last water or whatever from those different projects. But it's something we have to do. Good for the governor. Good job. We should all be supporting him on this. This is Congressman John Campbell filling in for Seth Leibson, who really does have good musical taste, including this song right here, which we'll listen to for a few seconds. But then I'll be back and we will go on with the next thing the governor talked about. Don't go away. Welcome back, Arizona. Congressman John Campbell filling in for Seth Leibson today. Seth will be back tomorrow. We're continuing our discussion and analysis of Governor Ducey's State of the State speech yesterday. Let's go on. We talked to his number one issue was water. Good thing we need to deal with, even though it's not anybody's radar now. It will be if we don't deal with the existing water limitations that we have, and with the Colorado River shortage of water, et cetera. But okay, let us go on, Producer Bill, and let's play cut number three.
We've implemented a hiring freeze and held the line on out-of-control growth in government. Today, our state government operates more efficiently. We've gotten government out of the way of job creation, cutting red tape, and placing a moratorium on new regulations. In fact, we've eliminated over 1,000 regulations in this state.
That applause wasn't as loud as I would have liked it to be. But when I heard that, I was like, yes, yes. He went on to say that Arizona has 11,000 pages of laws, 11,000 pages of laws, and that many of those are irrelevant, don't matter anymore, need to be gone. And he suggested that we repeal three laws for every law that is passed and that we sunset all new laws. So no law is there. And we all know about the thing, you know, don't ride your horse after 10 o'clock, you know, on the main street, whatever. And those things that are still there. But if you sunsetted them, if every law that was passed had a sunset, which means that the legislature has to revisit it, even if it's 10 years, 20 years, whatever, then you do that. I mean, I was jumping up and down and cheering in my little seat at home in Scottsdale when I was hearing that, because I actually introduced two bills, one in the California legislature and one in Congress. When I got into each of those bodies, it actually wasn't as aggressive as his. Mine was just, if you put in a law, you have to take off a law. That was all it was. But man, that is really good stuff. And they've eliminated 1,000 regulations. I mean, this is really good stuff. And I think that's super stuff that he did. Next thing he went into was legislative immunity. Now, this has gotten a lot of coverage in the press. Even the Arizona Republic, I think, said something nice about something that Governor Ducey said on legislative immunity. Let me tell you a little story on that. And you've probably all heard the story here about the legislator that had a DUI or whatever and got out of it, is trying to get out of it on the basis that that there's legislative immunity. Let me give you a little history on that. Legislative immunity exists in the Constitution and for federal at the federal level. And what it was there for was back in the day, let's just say you were a member of Congress from South Carolina and you had to go to something in Washington, D.C. And whatever you're going to vote on, the people in North Carolina didn't like. What it was supposed to stop was that the congressman gets on his horse and is going up to Washington, D.C., gets stopped and arrested from South Carolina, gets stopped and arrested in North Carolina, and then they detain him so that that person can't go vote on that particular bill. And that's what it was intended to stop, is some jurisdiction preventing someone from getting to Congress for a vote. Most states pass similar things for the same reason. I suppose it is possible that someone in Pima County could stop someone going to the state capitol for a vote because Pima County didn't like what was going on there. And as absolutely unreasonable as that seems, you could argue that maybe some vestige of this should be left there. So there's a whole lot of things I didn't think, speech and so forth, that I didn't think would be made illegal in this country that a lot of people on the left are trying to make illegal. A lot of people in universities are trying to make illegal. So there's all kinds of things I never thought would happen in this country that are starting to happen. So I'm always reticent to give away a protection in the Constitution, but it clearly was never intended for someone, you know, to have a DUI and say, oh, you can't arrest me because I'm on my way to vote or whatever, or something like that. So this, but it's not popular with the legislators. I will tell you that it rarely is. I remember when I was in the California legislature and I was proposing term limits and they said, well, it's fine. We'll do it for the next class. And I said, what? And I'll only vote for something if it exempts us because we're all so good. What? No, it should be the other way around. If we pass term limits, it should affect us. And then people will know we're doing it for the good of the state and not just to protect our jobs. But guess what? I couldn't get anywhere with that either. So good luck with him on this legislative immunity. I'm with him on it. I feel like there ought to be some vestige left just to make sure that some Obama-appointed judge doesn't detain a Republican from getting to the legislature. But as long as it's not something like that, then I'm with him on that. And we'll see where that goes. But it really should. This other stuff is garbage, and the governor's exactly right, and that should be done away with. Okay, let us play cut number four.
1 year ago, most of us didn't know Parkland, Florida, even existed. But now, it's tragically another on the list, ingrained in our memories and American vernacular. Columbine, Virginia Tech, Sandy Hook. So last spring, I convened Arizonans in my office, parents, teachers, principals, law enforcement, mental health experts, Democrats and Republicans, people who weren't Democrats or Republicans, students themselves, with a goal of being proactive and taking action to stop a tragedy from happening here. We researched the five deadliest school shootings of the last 20 years and asked, how could these have been prevented? We built a plan that could make a real difference, the Safe Arizona Schools Plan. More cops on campus, more school counselors, improved background checks, a stop order that protects Second Amendment rights while keeping guns out of the hands of people who are a lethal threat. These are solutions that will make our schools safer, and it's time for us to get it done.
Okay, now you may have noticed that was rather muted applause. The governor proposed this Safe Arizona Schools Act, probably with some modifications last year, and it wasn't even taken up in committee. So this has not been a popular thing, but I think it should be. And he listed Hugh Hewitt as a supporter of this. I actually emailed Hugh today and mentioned that to him, and he told me that he is very strongly in support of the governor's proposal here, and so am I. But I'm going to explain to you why when we come back, because it may not be exactly what you're all thinking. But I think this is something we need to take a look at hard. This is Congressman John Campbell. I'm filling in for Seth Leibson, and I will be back with more, the answer to that question, and even more on the Governor's State of the State Address. Don't go away. Welcome back, Arizona. Congressman John Campbell filling for Seth Leibson. I'm using his music. I'm using Seth's music, and it's been generally really good. But that last song was, who was that? The one before the break? I wrote it down, and I can't even find where I wrote it down. Where was that, Producer Bill? Poison. Every thorn deserves a rose. Deserves a thorn. Okay, and then that was just what's his name? Yeah, Paul McCartney. I was Paul McCartney, and I don't like, I haven't had enough of silly love song. Not my favorite. Take those off, Seth. Take them off if you're listening. No, just kidding. Okay, all right. But back to more serious things. Governor Ducey's State of the State address yesterday. I played the clip. He talked about the Safe Arizona Schools Act. Which got absolutely nowhere last year when he talked about it, and he's bringing it up again relatively early in his speech as something that's clearly a priority for him. Hugh Hewitt's for it, and generally I am too, and here's why. First of all, why is he doing this? He does not want to wake up, you know, some morning to a school shooting here. I mean, obviously no one wants that, okay, except the nutcases that do it. No one wants that. But when you're a governor, you really don't want that on your watch. I mean, that is a horrific thing to happen in your state. And you really want to do what you can to deal with it. If you're in the legislature, it's bad. It's really bad for the people in that district. But it's actually, in a sense, almost worse for the governor. So this is not something he wants to sit by and do nothing about and have there be something happen here. So that's first of all that he's doing it. But the reason I think people like me and those of us who likely listen to this station, I'm an NRA member, okay? I'm a life NRA member. So I think that lets you know where that is. And I don't want my Second Amendment rights infringed with. But it's not just that. It's not the fault of the gun. And I could spend a whole hour on that, but every time there's one of these shootings, you know, it doesn't matter if the person's a complete nutcase that sent a million signals to everybody, stole the gun, and everything else, then it's always the gun's fault. It's always somehow if we had this or that ban or this or that ban, that somehow this wouldn't happen. Absolutely complete nonsense. Absolute complete nonsense in almost any case. And you know, when we suggest, well, what if people there were armed? Oh, no. You know, and I, like I say, I could spend an hour or even longer on that. But the point is that that's what happens whenever these things come up. So what Governor Ducey is doing here is he's being proactive. He's putting forth his own solution that doesn't interfere with Second Amendment rights, number one, but also doesn't try and do something that won't solve the problem. I mean, if I didn't care about the Second Amendment, if all I cared about, as people do, is about kids being shot in schools, I would not propose more gun control because it won't work. Forget if there were no Second Amendment, because it won't work. And so the governor's proposing something. Now, as governor, there's only so many things you can do. He's not president. He's not, you know, he's not God. He's governor. And so there's so many things he can do. And will this work? I don't know. Is there a better idea? Perhaps. But I think the idea that the governor's proposing some proactive action to try and prevent a school shooting in Arizona should be lauded. And I believe that, and I believe and I hope that the legislature works with him on this issue. So, all right, let me move on to a few other things he got to. Now, before I get to another clip, a few other things he said. He mentioned the 20% increase in teacher pay, and that he's going to resist if anybody, any school district, uses that money for something other than teacher pay, which is, again, laudable and something he, in fact, should do and I would support. But let me say this about the teacher pay, and we know that the Red for Ed movement doesn't think it's enough. And by the way, the teachers in the Los Angeles Unified School District went on strike yesterday. This is the second day they've been on strike. And I've got all kinds of articles from the Wall Street Journal here this morning about LAUSD. And you know one of the things they want? They want the charter schools to go away. Because one of the things the governor talks about and what we should be talking about is outcomes in education. What is the result? What are the outcomes? Because our friends on the left don't seem to care about the outcomes. If the outcomes are worse, but the union gets more dues, then they seem to be fine with that. After the break here, when we come back, I'm going to quote something that was said by a senior member of California Teachers Association, which certainly revealed where they're at. But when you see what's going on in LA, we're going to talk about it. We don't want that in Arizona. And I think what the governor is doing and proposing here, hopefully we'll head that off. But it's not about salaries. It's about teaching kids. It's Congressman John Campbell. And I will be right back. Don't go away. You can never go wrong with Elvis Presley, baby. You can never go wrong with Elvis Presley, at least according to Congressman John Campbell here, filling in for Seth Leibson. I made my pilgrimage, first visit to Graceland just last year, I think it was. Yeah, last year. Oh, my gosh, it's great. Big Elvis fan. Good call on that piece of music, Seth. Anything with Elvis is a good call. Okay, back to Governor Ducey's address, and I'm going to take a call here in just a second, but I just want to finish up on this education. We got so much to cover on this. It probably will bleed over a little bit into the next hour. But let me just say, he talked about the pay and all that. I'm going to read you here from the Wall Street Journal this morning. The LA Unified School District is on strike, in spite of the fact that, according to the Wall Street Journal, including health and retirement benefits, the average teacher in LAUSD makes $110,000 a year. Now, yes, it is an expensive place to live, no question about that. But the point is that you will, however much, my experience with these government employee unions is however much you make, there will always be more. There'll always be a reason to have more. So this will be ongoing and it's continual. And what those of us conservatives should be talking about is what's the result? What are the outcomes? Can the kids read? Can they do math? Can they speak? Can they get into high school? Can they finish high school? Do they get out of college? Those sorts of things. And the fact is, the charter schools and a lot of the things that we're doing here in Arizona are working in that regard. And at the end of the day, that's what most people care about. And what I was going to say was that it was some time ago, but union official in California was caught saying, you know, do you care about the kids? And he says, I'll care about the kids as soon as they start paying union dues, which showed where that particular union official felt. Now, I'm not suggesting that everyone feels that way, and they don't, but there are certainly some that do, and much of the leadership in some of these unions are that way. But let me see if I can get all the way over here and take a call. I think I pushed the right button to get Josanne. Josanne, did I get you?
Hi, John Campbell, Congressman. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Wonderful. We live in Arizona now. I think you remember and recall who I am.
No, I don't. You have to give me a hint. Producer Bill wasn't quite sure, so you have to give me a hint.
Okay. Well, my husband worked for you for probably 15 years managing dealerships.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't want you to give
me... I think, you know, the Ford store, the Mazda, the Saturn.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
So anyway, we...
Okay,
we
now
are,
I know who you are. Now I know who you are. Okay, yeah,
yes.
We don't do last names on the air except mine.
No.
You know.
Yeah, there you go,
yeah. So where are you, Josanne? You're in Sun City West, it says here.
Yes, we are... You know, we're older and wiser, and we've moved to Arizona, and we live in Sun City West. I actually was listening in and heard your voice, and my ears pricked up, and I said, I know that voice, and I just wanted to call and say, hey, thanks for commenting on our governor and his state of the state, and I'm in agreement regarding this water issue. We cannot live without it here in Arizona. We need water desperately. Yeah.
Yes.
And
it is a desert.
It's something. Yeah, we're in a desert. And so I just wanted to say, hey, you.
When did you move? When did you move from California here, Josanne?
Actually, we had a little sojourn in the state of Oregon. Chuck ran a Mercedes.
I was just going to ask you if Chuck was still in the business here.
He actually is.
Whereabouts?
Here.
What city?
What? Many. He's quit managing stores because he's just, you know, doesn't want to work 7 days a week in this business anymore. So
okay.
He teaches and quite well. It's amazing. And mentors, my goodness, 18 dealerships in the Arizona, California markets for a large auto. I don't know if you want me to say that name.
It's probably not a problem. Go ahead.
Larry H. Miller Automotive.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so.
And yeah.
Well,
so
okay.
I just heard
okay.
your voice.
Let me ask you now, because I don't know whether you heard in the earlier segment. I always ask former Californians, refugees like me, why'd you move?
Well, we moved to, we were just ready for a big break from, frankly, from California. Two out of three of our children still live there, and God bless them. We pray for them. We just were kind of done. It was sort of that shake the dust off your feet.
Yeah. Well,
and,
I two out of two of
then,
mine still live there, but anyway,
yes,
go on.
Yes, yes, the boys.
Yes.
So we, when Oregon was not great for my rheumatoid arthritis, we moved to Arizona to dry my bones out. And before we even got on the road, Chuck was contacted by a young man he had mentored years ago and said, would you ever consider coming to the Phoenix area and joining this large group and teaching and mentoring? Well, and Chuck, it was just kind of, wow. Okay.
Well, that is great. Josanne, stay in touch. Tell Chuck, my emails never change. I have an AOL email. Everybody,
yes.
Every place I go,
we
people are like,
have it.
People are like, you have AOL? And I said, I've had this since 1996.
Yes,
I hear from people, you know, that I haven't heard from in 20 years. And they're just, this probably isn't still your email, John, but just in case, blah, blah, blah. And I get these emails out of the blue. And so, it's the same email. And I actually have the same cell phone number I've had since cell phones.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I can't tell you how often we will be discussing an issue. And Chuck and I will say, we wonder what John would say, you know. What would John say? So anyway, thanks for coming to Arizona and speaking your piece. Great to hear your voice on my radio. Chuck is actually listening as we speak. And hello to the family.
Well, good. Thanks. And thanks so much for calling. And thanks for listening to KKNT, the Patriot.
Exactly.
Okay.
Bye, John.
Wow. That's man, I don't even know what to say about that. That completely took me off track here, is to hear from, and you wonder how many more Californians like that or people I know that I didn't even know are here. It's interesting. Another general manager who worked for me when I was in the car business lives in Prescott. And actually, they just moved. They moved down to the valley there. So anyway, oh well. Okay, back to... how long have we got here before the break? Oh, we're getting down minute and a half. I don't have time to play that next clip. So let me talk about one other thing, getting back to Governor Ducey's speech. And we'll have to run some of this into the next hour now. But he said that 100,000 people will move to Arizona this year, probably 50,000 from California. Remember when I was in Kansas talking to somebody, he says, a rancher, and he says, we don't want many people from California. I said, well, I'd only have the good ones come. And he says, we don't even want too many of them. But anyway, 100,000 people moved to Arizona. And he said licensing boards are standing in the way. And he wants to make universal occupational licenses reciprocal with every state. Yes, I was standing up cheering again. This is such the right thing to do. We'll talk some more about that shortly after the break. But there's so much good stuff. I mean, you know, the idea, I'm a CPA, but the licenses are not that different from state to state. You ought to see, I'm trying to transfer my license to Arizona. I'll be darned if I can figure out how to do it. It's in California. I want to transfer it to here. He's saying just make it reciprocal. That's so fabulous. It's a great idea. Haircutters, all that kind of stuff. Don't go away, Arizona, John Campbell. I'll be right back. Welcome back, Arizona. Congressman John Campbell filling in for Seth Leibson. Seth will be back with you tomorrow. Sounded goodbye. Who sang that? The one before the last break? Crystal Gayle. Gosh, that's right. You know, I know all these songs. A lot of them I know the words, but I often forget the name of who did them. I don't know. I'm bad at that. Anyway, okay. We're going to cover some more of the meat of Governor Ducey's speech after the break in the third hour. I know I'm violating the golden rule of radio. You don't carry a topic from 1 hour to the next, but I'm going to do it. I'm looking around. I don't see any arrows here in the KKNT studios. But anyway, let me play something Governor Ducey did towards the end of his speech that I thought was great. Cut number seven.
And then there are those we said goodbye to last year for the final time. Their memory and their legacies will live on. Congressman Ed Pastor, Superintendent of Public Instruction Carolyn Warner, Treasurer Carol Springer, Chief Justice Bud Jones, Senator John McCain. Others had names we were not familiar with. Their lives cut short in the line of duty. Their service will be honored and remembered all the same. Staff Sergeant Maximo Flores, Chief Warrant Officer Taylor Galvin, Staff Sergeant Alexander Conrad, First Sergeant Nicholas Amsbury, Army Specialist Robert Jones, U.S. Deputy Marshal Chase White, Nogales Police Officer Jesus Cordova, Salt River Police Officer Clayton Townsend, Trooper Tyler Edenhofer. Their ultimate sacrifice reminds us of the sacrifices made every day by our heroes in uniform, law enforcement, first responders, correction officers, our National Guard and military personnel. We salute you. We are proud of you, and we thank you.
That's the one thing that the governor did that got a standing ovation with everyone in the room, as well it should. Thank you to those, and thank you now if the families or friends or loved ones of any of those names are listening. Thank you for what you and yours did for all of us. Stay with us, Arizona. Congressman John Campbell filling in for Seth Leibson. I will be back after the break. Another hour to go.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn. deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.